I just, I really feel like the Lord wants me to share something tonight. And I would say with all of us, we have a choice of what we receive. You know, just like our dear sister there, she wants to receive what's shared, then she's in a position to do so. But, you know, we can't cater to everyone, but we have to just share from the heart of God. And he that has ears to hear, let him hear, you know, and he that can flow with the word, flow with it, because right now we're greatly challenged and there's a great separation going on. But I'd like to share something that the Lord dealt with me for the last few days, and it's just been heavy in my spirit. And if I may, I've been troubled a lot lately because I've seen so many people that I've known, brothers and sisters, who started this race, and some of them really had were a bright light at one time. They started so valiantly, you know, in the Lord. They really did. And then you look, sometimes 10 years, sometimes 20, sometimes 30 years later, and all of a sudden they're in a place of apostasy or in deception of some really strange deception going on in their life. And I look at them and I just, you know, it's almost like, what happened? What happened to these people that were, you know, running well, had such a testimony, had the life of God flowing in their life, and now they're not in the race anymore. And I see that an acceleration taking place in that right now. But the thing that I think that I really have been emphasized by the Spirit this week in my own heart is this, that we look at somebody that's departed, and we can go, you know, we look at somebody that's gone astray, and, you know, as sin being, well, of course, the adulterers or the homosexuals or the thieves or the, but it's far more minute. It's like if you watch a plant grow, you can see how things are changing. It's also, you can watch the thing, you can sit and watch a tree and you see nothing happening. But the tree is growing. There's change taking place. And that is both the life of righteousness and the departure from righteousness is like that. It's incremental. It's in small stages. Every day is made up of somewhat, I think, about 1,400 plus minutes in a day. And every single minute, things are taking place in our life. And what I began to realize is, and the Lord began to show me, there, every one of us, you, every single person listening to what we're sharing right now is a farmer. You are all farmers. You've all got a harvest and a crop going. In fact, you've got a lot of crops growing. In several different fields of your life, you've got crops growing, whether you like it or not. And sometimes we try to look at the big picture, but all of the big picture of our walk with God, or where you find yourself at, or where you find people at, are cumulative of the small things that have made that happen. A person doesn't, you don't look at a person and say, well, how did that person become an apostate? How did this person here get into deception? How did this person here become lukewarm? It would be the same thing as a person that is very heavy, for instance, on a natural level. They didn't, which, was it a donut they ate that did it? No, it was a lifestyle, a day-by-day decision, an hour-by-hour decision, a meal-by-meal decision, choices that we make. And I'm realizing, I'm going to share a few scriptures. These scriptures just came to my mind. I didn't go looking in a concordance. I don't have a computer, but just some scriptures that talk about this. It says in the scripture in 1 Timothy, exercise thyself unto godliness. The concept of exercise, if you look at it on a natural level, you know, a person can be full of zeal and decide they're going to change their ways and go down to the gym and do some intensity for a day, and nothing changes. It's over the weeks, over the months, it's the changes of lifestyle. It's a change And it's the cumulative that makes a person physically fit, as it were. But exercise thyself unto godliness. And he says physical exercise or profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all. And he talks about godliness as an exercise, something that is practiced and disciplined like an exercise. It says that in that same chapter, in a, I think it's the fourth chapter of Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the to the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. All of those things, be an example to the believers. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. It says in 2 Timothy, know ye not that they which that in a great house there are vessels not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man will therefore purge himself from these, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. He says, flee also youthful lust, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is the one that really stood out to me. He says, do you not know that they which run in a race, I think this is in, let me see, like 9th chapter maybe of 1 Corinthians, but it says, do you not know that they which run in a race run all, but only one obtains the prize? So run that you may obtain. And then he says, he goes and he says, and they that strive for masteries are temperate in all things. They do it for an earthly or a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He said, so run I not with uncertainty, and so fight I not as one that beats the air, but I keep my body under and bring it in subjection, lest after having preached to others, I should myself become a castaway. And that word, when he says, and if a man, and every man that strives for mastery, I'm going to let my wife for a second just explain that word. She speaks and reads and writes Greek. That's her first language. And I want to just explain something about that word, strive for the mastery.
Well, it's the word awonia, and it's right out of the Strong's Concordance. It's numbers 74 and 75. 74 is awonia, which is the noun, and it means to struggle and to anguish, and it's agony. And then the one just following that is agonizume, which becomes the verb, and that's to say, I struggle. I fight, I labor, I am fervently striving, and so that's the difference. And awana is race. Awana is race.
Well, the main point being there, you look at that word, it's the same word, strive to enter into the straight gate. It's the word, ag comes from the word, agonize comes from that word in the Greek. And when it says, I would that you would earnestly contend, it's magnified, it's agony with intensity. And the thing that, what we don't realize, he says in there, they that strive for the mastery are temperate in all things. We're making choices. Every one of us has a harvest going on right now. We're making choices in our thought life. We have a crop right now. Every one of us has a crop going in our thought life. Every one of us is growing a harvest right now. We're reaping a harvest. We're planting day by day. Our words, we have a crop going on. The attitudes, our actions, our works, they're all, we have a crop going on, a harvest. And I'm going to share a couple more scriptures here. But anyway, he that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do this for an earthly or a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. And then he says, so I run with purpose, and I don't fight as he that beats the air, but I keep my body and bring it under subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Paul did not say, I've got my ticket punched, brothers. He says, I have got to keep running this race and keep my own body in subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. One of the greatest laws that is absolute is the law of sowing and reaping, and that is going on in every realm of our lives, day in and day out. It says in the sixth chapter of Galatians, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. What a man sows, that will he reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that sows to his spirit shall of his spirit reap everlasting life. And then he goes on and says, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But brothers and sisters, if you were to look at on the computer at the stock market and what it's doing minute by minute, you couldn't tell. It's going up and down minute by minute. There's jumps going back and forth, up and down, up and down. But if you stood back and looked at it over a three-month period, you can see that there's a trend going on. That's the same thing with our life right now, brothers. We're either becoming more fervent in spirit, more sound in our doctrinal correctness because of our application and our faithful sowing to the Word of God, more disciplined with our body, with our affections of this life, and everything that we're doing in our life. And we don't think the little things count, but the little things cumulatively will find us one day either white hot overcomer or being defeated and become a castaway in this world. And it's all made up of a million little decisions. It's made up of every day, the words we speak, the discipline of our thought life, our discipline to put the Word in our heart and to seek the Lord's Word, our discipline of our bodily functions, of the time that we spend, that we take a pie chart of our time and see who's getting the pie in our life, whether the Lord Jesus is getting the pie or whether this world is eating the pie. And I'm speaking of a pie chart being what cut of time and affection and resource that God gets and what part the world gets. It says in the scripture, if you love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. And I remember the scripture. Somebody might want to put it on mute. But the other scripture in Romans 2, he says in this, God will render to every man according to his works, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. He says, to those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. That's the walk of the Spirit. It's a daily sowing with the things that we speak, with the things that we think, with the things that we do, taking our affections and our attitudes under control, and sowing a harvest of righteousness that will cumulatively make us overcomers in every aspect of our life. And so often, I know in my own heart, I've been like Martha when Lazarus had died, and she says, well, if you had been here, Lazarus would never have died. And Jesus said, Lazarus will rise. And she said, well, I know he will rise on that last day. She had faith to see God in the past. She had faith to see him in the future do the work. But Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Everything that takes place in our life will happen on a living minute, on a real life day. It's never going to happen on a tomorrow. It's never going to happen in the past. If we're going to encounter God, if we're going to see things happen, it's going to be by continuous sowing. It says, a patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. So every day, it says, today the Holy Ghost saith. God is speaking today. Now God is speaking. He says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. There's a speaking going on And if you're going to encounter God, it's going to have to happen on a today. Everything that's going to be, and the importance of these little things you can see in I think it's Matthew 12, and the Lord says, and every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The things that every word, can you comprehend that? That every word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof on the day of judgment. Do the little things count? Another verse that I thought of was in Hebrews 2 when it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That word, lest at any time we should let them slip. If you look it up in the Greek, it's to leak drip by drip, like a leaking vessel. Like you've got a pot with a small crack in it, and the water is dripping out, one drip at a time, drip, drip, drip. That is how men become apostate, drip by drip, thought by thought, word by word, attitude by attitude, action by action. And that is exactly how men become great men of God. It's the little things. It's taking this day and spending time in the Word this day. It's this day saying, I am going to put this chapter in my heart and I'm going to work on it today. And your head says, I don't want you to do that. I don't like this. Leave me alone, please. I've got other things. I'd rather just vegetate. But when you begin to, the patient continuance in well-doing, sowing to the Spirit, sowing the things that have eternal consequence. I look at that scripture, another one that says this, and this I say, brethren, I think this is in 1 Corinthians 7, this I say, brethren, the time is short. Let them that are married be as though they're married not. And let them weep as though they wept not, those that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and those that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing this world. Paul says in one place, he says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. That word expedient, if you ask, he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's when Paul says, I keep my body under subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. The whole thing that he's saying when he says that, all these things are lawful, but are they expedient? I've heard people use that word expedient in ways, this is not expedient that we buy this right now because they're trying to save money for a car or they're saving money to go on a vacation or they're doing, this is not an expedient expenditure. If we're really, as Timothy says in 2 Timothy 2, Paul says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Brethren, there's a time that the way people act in a time of peace and the way they act in a time of war are completely different. There's a time when God tells you to beat your swords into plowshares because it's not a time of war. But this is a time when he says, take your plowshares and beat them into swords. Take your pruning hooks into spears. We're coming into a time of intensity like never has been in the earth's history. When Jesus said, there shall be tribulation great upon the earth, so great as such as never was since the beginning of the world or ever again shall be, except those days would be shortened. No flesh would be saved alive. And if a man strive for mastery, this is a time of war. Different kind of preparations. All of the fluff is going to hit the fan in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Everything that is just fluff is going to be destroyed and burnt to crisp. Everything will be vehemently tested. Jesus, it says in Hebrews 12, yet I shake once more, not the earth only, but the heavens. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of the things that are shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. But the emphasis that I felt of the Spirit in my heart, if I was to try to summarize it, it would be this, that right now we are actively involved in sowing and reaping every day of our life. We're either sowing to the Spirit or we're sowing to the flesh. And it's the little tiny things, the increments of a day going by. If you look to the sundial with the shadow cast across the ground, if you're looking at it, you're not seeing it move. But in a day, it goes 180 degrees from one side all the way to the other in one day. And brothers and sisters, there's things moving all around us in our lives. Our garden is full. We have a thought life. A garden, one of our plots is our thought life. One of our plots is our words. One of our plots is the things that we do, our actions and our activities. The time we take, the things whether we're feeding our bodies. You know, it's not just to be religious and say, hey, you shouldn't, you know. It's like anything. I will not be brought under the power of anything. All things are lawful. But sometimes it can be watching those sports. God may want you to put a bullet through your TV. He may want you to do that because it's so late in the game that you just can't be dissipating your energies and your affections on the things of this world. It may be that music that you like to listen to that has nothing to do with the praises or the purposes of God. It may be the sports that take our time, that take our affection away, whether it be baseball, football, anything. It can be fishing, it can be hunting, it can be anything. But when it becomes that which possesses us, that which brings us under its power, and everything in this world has the power to take us captive, but we've got to be in a place where we are temperate in all things. Everyone that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate in all things. In all things, showing thyself, it says in Titus, a pattern. It says a pattern of good works. Do you know what a pattern is? People, they say he's got habit patterns. It's developing a way. Sometimes our thought life is because there's a pattern in our thought life that has begun to deviate from the focus of the Lord's word, from the focus of the eternal thing. And we begin to deviate and let our mind become unfruitful and let it just kind of drift here and there like a little boat with no rudder on the sea being blown by whatever wind, whether it comes from the south or the east. We can't afford to do that at this time. We've got to exercise our minds. We've got to exercise our thoughts, our words, our actions, everything. Because right now we are all. And the sundial is moving in our lives. The years are going by. And you can't see it moment by moment. You can't see what it's doing. But if you get back and look at a person's life over 8 years, over 10 years, you can see there's a trend going. And either they are becoming hotter and more fervent in spirit and deeper in the understanding of the ways of the Lord, more disciplined in their body and in their thought life, and they are becoming more fruitful. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And when he says, in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, doctrine, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary may be ashamed that they have nothing that they can falsely accuse, your good conversation in Christ. We right now, brothers and sisters, far more than you know, all these little things are adding to something, and we have got to reel it in. It's like when you hook a big trout, you give it any slack line, you'll lose it. You have got to keep a taut line on this thing in every aspect of our lives right now, because this is when it says in there, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. in the evil day, but it's not a rat. It's the evil day has come. It's not coming. It's here. And the terrible thing about this battle is that people are being shot and don't even know they've taken a dart. They don't even know that they're in a battle, let alone that they just died. Because spiritual death can take place while your physical body is still going. And it's happening to people. Their hearts have gotten hardened. They've come to a place where God gives up on them. As it says in the terrible scripture that we see in Proverbs 1, because I have called, and you have refused. I stretched out my hand, you would not regard. You've said it not all of my counsel. You would none of my reproof. Therefore, while I laugh at your calamity, I'll mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes like desolation, your destruction like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then you'll call upon me, but I will not answer. Then you'll seek me early, but you will not find me. For you hated knowledge, you did not choose to fear the Lord. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But he that hearkens to me shall dwell safely and be quiet from all fear of evil. That's where we need to walk. He that hears me and fears me will dwell safely from all fear of evil. And brothers and sisters, this is the time. The evil day has come upon us. And this time, it really is. I don't want to say it in a heart. I can't say, I wouldn't dare say any more arrogantly. I couldn't more than Paul when he said, I trust. He says, though we or an angel should come with another gospel. He opened the door and said, look, if I come back here with some other gospel, let me be accursed. Brothers, when running this race, he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm pressing for, if that by any means I may apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended me, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Jesus Christ my Lord. And as many of you as are perfect or mature, you'll be thus minded. This is not a time, brothers. It's not anything that's not expedient. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Throw it from you, for it's profitable to you that one of your members should perish and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's profitable to you that one of your members should perish and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And he's not talking about just hands and eyes. He's saying anything that keeps us from this prize, from the high calling of God in Christ, from that eternal kingdom, from apprehending and becoming that fruitful vessel that God called us to be that vessel that bears much fruit, that has a testimony on that last day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy God. Nothing, nothing must get in the way of that, brothers and sisters. We need to make little decisions that make big conclusions in our life. We need to take little choices day by day, hour by hour, and choose to exercise ourselves in the godliness, to have a pattern of good works in all things, that our whole life is a pattern of good works, that we are those that exercise ourselves unto godliness. We're those that in temperate in all things, because we're striving for that eternal kingdom. Don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but only run, only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. And if a man strive for the mastery, is temperate in all things, they do it for an corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible crown. And so I run. And so I fight not with uncertainty. And he says, and he said, I don't fight as one that beats the air, but I keep my body under subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. You start sowing to the word. You put the word in your heart. If it's a verse a week, if it's a chapter a week, if it's a chapter a month, do something. Start disciplining yourself, your mind. Don't let it wander. Don't let your words wander. Don't let your thoughts wander. Don't let your things you do with your time wander. This is a time, brothers and sisters, to sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness